presenting Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
The X-4 calling control towers. The X-4 calling control towers. Standing by.
Control tower back to the X-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, since the end of the war, there's been a lot of talk about push-button weapons. They say the next war will be waged from Central Control Headquarters, thousands of miles apart. And it's not hard to figure out how people got that idea. But it is hard to make them see how wrong they are. Americans have produced great examples of engineering and inventive genius. And a lot of people take it for granted that this will continue. Our scientists and inventors are working hard probing the secrets of nature. But such a job takes a lot of time. It took long years of heartbreaking experiments to produce the gasoline motor and the electric light and the telephone. And that's why it's dangerous to our national defense to believe we can produce push-button weapons at the snap of a finger. Recently, Rear Admiral Dan Gallery, who runs the Guided Missile Department for the Navy, reported that we already have half of the equipment for push-button warfare, all tested and ready for action. In spite of the top-secret label attached to most information of this sort, we are allowed to say that the equipment is a big, new push-button. That's right, we now have the button. Of course, the Navy, as well as our other armed services, is pushing work on guided missiles as fast as they can, and we'll have them just as soon as our scientists and engineers solve the maze of problems standing in their way. But that day may be many years from now. No, we won't have guided missiles overnight. There are many more problems involved, gang, and in just a few minutes I'll be back. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. A mysterious organization, unnamed, but symbolized by a jagged streak of lightning, has suddenly encroached on the activities of private pilots and airport owners in the United States. And Hop and Tank find themselves right in the midst of it. For returning to Lakeville after a flight in which they had witnessed operations of this organization on two separate occasions, they were visited by two men who made a startling proposition. As we continue now, Hop and Tank are in their office, angrily telling Gail Nolan of the visit.
They were going to do us a big favor, Gail. They were going to allow us into the organization. We'd have the privilege of becoming full-fledged members.
At $1,000 a year.
I got so mad I could have...
Still hasn't cooled off enough to make sense, huh?
I can't help it. Things like that really burn me.
Well, take a couple of deep breaths, and when you simmer down, start talking. But slowly.
What's there to talk about? There was a couple of...
I really would like to know what you're both raving about.
Okay, Gail. Do you remember what happened yesterday on our flight from New Orleans? That Stinson that was playing around and the guy at the airport who wouldn't let us refuel?
Of course I remember.
You remember the insignia, the streak of lightning in a circle?
Listen, I'm waiting to hear about things I don't know.
We're getting to it. About an hour ago, two men paid us a surprise visit. One of them, who did all the talking, introduced himself as Brown.
Yeah, and he called the other guy Luigi. Honestly, he looked like Frankenstein.
And they were members of this organization?
Yes. They offered us a chance to join up. Can you imagine that?
Well, what does the organization do?
It keeps you from having accidents.
Accidents?
Yeah, it's a sweet little racket. The old protection game. What you really do when you sign up with them is pay blackmail to keep them from causing the accident.
But you told them you wouldn't have any part of it, didn't you?
In great big capital letters.
Well, then what's all the fuss about? Since you refused, they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's what you think. Thanks, show Gail the papers.
Where'd you throw them?
Oh, they're on the floor near the wall there.
Oh, yeah, I see.
But they're all crumpled.
Yeah, I lost my temper.
Well, this really must be getting you. You lose your temper about once every other year.
Well, when people start riding roughshod over others and terrorize them into submission, I blow my top. We fought the war on account of that, and I won't stand by and let it start up again.
Yeah, I tried to smooth them off.
Let's take a look at them, Gail.
What? These pictures, aren't they of our plane?
Right.
Well, when
read what it says on this paper.
Well, it's a complaint to the CAA about your reckless flying.
Exactly.
How have you never flew recklessly in your life?
Remember yesterday, Gail, when that Stinson started to edge in on us from the right and Hop drove him off by banking in on him?
Yes.
I was sucked into a trap.
How?
Well, according to air traffic regulations, when two planes are flying courses that will cross each other, the plane on the left gives way to the plane on the right. Now, with these pictures, Brown can prove I came in on him from the left, the wrong side, not allowing him to cross in front of me.
But that wasn't the case at all.
How can we prove it? You can't buck them pictures. Tank's right.
Wait, let me understand this. The man called Brown left these pictures with you and this paper to force you into the organization?
Yes, another form of blackmail. If we don't join up, the complaint will be filed with the CAA. Then guess what'll happen to my license?
Oh.
We're sitting pretty, ain't we?
Pop, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
He won't join.
Not in a million years. What about the complaint? I'll let them file it. I'll just have to fight my way out somehow.
But in the meantime, they'll be back, won't they?
Oh, yes. Brown promised us a return visit.
I hope he keeps his promise. I want to give him the glad hand right in the teeth.
Hop.
What's the matter, you?
I just remembered that airport down south was bombed. Suppose they try that here.
Yeah, they wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Well, can't you do anything to, well, forearm yourself? Prepare for Brown's next visit?
Wait a minute. Maybe there is something.
What?
We're certainly not the only ones who've been hit by the organization. They must be spreading out all over.
Sure.
Gil, take that list of airports I have in the desk and call every one of them in a radius of, 500 miles. See if they've been approached and find out what each one of them has done about it.
What'll that prove?
Maybe nothing, but it'll certainly give us a line on how strong the organization really is. Then we can work from there.
I'll start calling right now.
Oh, thanks. Maybe it's Brown again. Could be.
Now be careful, boy.
I'll be careful, all right. I'll part his face right down the middle.
Watch it. Come in.
Is Mr. Harrigan here?
Who wants to know?
Well, I...
Come on, spill it. Easy thing. I'm Hop Harrigan. What can I do for you?
Oh, well, my name's George Dudley. I want to take flying lessons.
Oh?
Well, come in, Mr. Dudley.
Thanks.
This is Miss Nolan and Tank Tinker, my partners.
How do you do?
Hello.
Hi.
You live here in Lakeville, Mr. Dudley?
Yes, moved here a couple of weeks ago.
Well, have you ever done any flying?
In a regular airliner, yes.
But not in a private plane.
I was in a Piper once.
Well, when would you like to begin? Well,
as soon as I can. I've already gotten my medical certificate. Here.
Oh, thanks. And your student permit?
Oh, I've applied for it. It hasn't come through yet.
Well, that's all right. You won't need it until you're ready to solo.
Hop.
Yes, Gil.
Why don't you take Mr. Dudley up for an orientation flight right now?
Oh, Gil, we got to get this other thing straightened out first.
Look, the airport still has to operate, doesn't it? And until I make those phone calls, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, Gail's right. Take Mr. Dudley out to the hangar tank, show him the PT-19 and get it warmed up. I'll be out in a few minutes.
Okay.
Well, we're going up right now?
Why not? If you want to fly, let's get started.
Well, swell.
Come on, Mr. Dudley. I'll show you the ship you're going to use.
Okay, and call me George, will you?
Sure thing.
Go ahead.
Now, Gil.
I'll get to work on those calls right away.
And listen, if Brown and that pal of his come back while I'm upstairs...
Hank will be here, so don't you worry. Go on out and do some business and forget this whole rotten thing. I'm sure we can lick it.
Gail smiles her confidence, and when Hop leaves the office, plunges into the task of calling all the airfields within a 500-mile radius of Lakeville. She begins by checking the list carefully, marking the ones within the specified area. But when she hears the engine of the PT-19 roar into life, she walks over and opens the door to watch the takeoff. She sees Hop and Tank give the young student final instructions. Then, with Hop in the front cockpit, the plane taxis out to the runway. Tank slowly lumbers back to the office, a puzzled frown on his face.
What's the matter, Tank?
Huh? Oh, I didn't see you, Gil.
Why the frown?
I don't know. Something ain't exactly sitting right with me.
Something you ate, no doubt.
Yeah, this ain't no time to make wisecracks.
I'm sorry. What is it? Still worrying about the organization?
Yeah. And that Dudley guy.
What about him?
If he's a student, then I'm a plumber.
I don't understand.
Well, it ain't nothing I can put my finger on, but just the way he acted when I showed him the plane, the controls, the instruments, everything. I got a feeling he knew all about him already.
Did you tell Hop?
I didn't get a chance. I don't mind saying I'm worried. Plenty worried.
But even as Tank confides his fear to Gale, the engine of the primary trainer roars into action out on the runway. And Hop sends the small ship rocketing into the air. Are Tank's fears justified? We'll know in a moment, gang, so stand by.
Say, gang, much of the work still to be done on guided missiles involves experiments in totally unknown fields. For this reason, much of the effort up to now has been devoted to pure research. As evidence of the Navy's efforts in the guided missile field, they are using most of their budget for research. With the Army and Air Force also working on them, a lot of care must be taken to make sure the work of one branch is not duplicated by another. Unification of our armed forces under the Department of Defense has led to a wonderful spirit of cooperation, and duplication of effort is kept down to a minimum. While practically all of the basic problems in the guided missile field are encountered and are under study by all services, the results have to be different. The Army is primarily interested in a missile that can be launched from the ground. The Air Force wants one for use on planes, and the Navy is aiming at a guided missile to be fired from ships. Right now, much of the testing is in the hands of the Navy. The firing of long-range or high-altitude missiles on land can be dangerous to anyone living around the firing site. The Navy can take the guided weapons to untraveled sea areas and fire them from shipboard. On these tests, every phase is strictly controlled. Considering the tremendous cost of the missiles, every possible bit of information must be squeezed out of each firing. The problems our scientists have run up against so far in the field of guided missiles show they face a tough job, but they're working closely with the military branches and pushing ahead bit by bit. The question now isn't whether we can have guided missiles, but when we can have them. Gang, get ready now to take your place in the air, for always remember, America needs flyers! And now back to our story. Taking off in a PT-19 monoplane to give George Dudley an orientation flight, Hoff has climbed to an altitude of 6,000 feet and flies in lazy circles as he talks to the young student flyer through the Gosport tube.
How do you feel, George? Everything under control? Everything's just fine, Mr. Harrigan. Having a swell time.
Good.
And listen, if we're going to fly together, you'd better start calling me Hoff.
Okay, Hoff.
You see the control stick right in front of you? Wiggle it. Yeah, I see it. Grab hold of it around the rubber grip on top with your right hand, but not too tightly.
I have it.
Now put your feet in the rudder pedal. Lay down on the floor in front. Don't put any weight on them. Just hold your feet on them lightly.
Yeah, I am.
Keep the stick centered, straight up.
Right.
Feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Well, I've got news for you. You're now flying the ship by yourself.
I am.
Hey, easy. Don't let it throw you.
Yeah, but just
keep your pedals even and the stick centered. That's it. Now she's all yours. See how long you can keep her straight and level.
You bet, Huck. Gosh, this sure is fun.
Hoff smiles as Dudley's voice rings through the Gosport tube full of enthusiasm. But his smile would change if he could see what the boy was doing in the cockpit behind him. A pair of steel wire cutters gripped in his left hand, Dudley leans over and starts sawing at the control wires running along the floor to the tail. Who is this George Dudley, and what does it all mean? Gang, our adventure grows more exciting with each episode, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. So long, Pop! We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Pop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.